I'm Nina Shaken with BYU Idaho Radio. I'm here with Scott Cameron, who is an assistant department chair of the English department here at BYU Idaho. He is giving this week's devotional talk. The title of your talk is I Glory in My Jesus, Forging a Personal Relationship with Christ and Heavenly Father. What does having a personal relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ mean to you? And what does that relationship look like?
Okay, so to answer that, I'm going to jump back just to the start of the title of my devotional. It comes from a scripture at the end of 2 Nephi in chapter 33. And one time while I was reading it, I was intrigued by the fact that Nephi writes, I glory in my Jesus, not just I glory in Jesus, but my Jesus. And it made me start to think, well, you know, why would he put that, you know, personal possessive pronoun in there, and what would that mean? And, you know, as I thought about it, what I realized is that on some level, Nephi was suggesting that although many of the things that he had written were about things that had affected all people, that he was also saying that there's something really important about having a really personal relationship with Christ, and that his experiences, although they could be helpful in teaching us, would be different from ours, and that on some level we needed to develop our own connection and not just rely on what he taught. And so I guess for me, you know, a personal relationship with Christ and Heavenly Father in some respects looks similar to relationships that we have just with, you know, family and friends. So it's built upon really individual experiences that we have. So if we think back about particular spiritual moments we've had, you know, even when we've had them at the same time as other people, they often have affected us differently, or we, you know, remember them differently. But I also think it means that, you know, on a very particular level, that Christ and Heavenly Father are interested in us as individuals. So that part of what this relationship is, you know, me sharing what is particular to me. So for instance, you know, in my devotional, I talk about how for me, reading and writing poetry has been one of the ways that I really connect with Christ and with Heavenly Father. But my guess is that that's not true for most people, that they find it, you know, through other avenues. So I think that having a personal relationship involves me saying, okay, what is kind of uniquely me, and how do I share that with my Heavenly Father, and how does he respond to the things that I care about? And just recognizing that these things that, you know, I'm really passionate or interested about can be a way for me both to express my love to Heavenly Father, but also to feel his love in return.
And that was kind of my second question. You know, you said that Heavenly Father in your talk, you said that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ care about our likes and dislikes, our joys and our failures. And I know, you know, college, especially for BYU Idaho students, is sometimes a time where people are really trying to figure out what they do like, who they are. How would you suggest people begin to kind of share those things with Heavenly Father when they're still figuring them out themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, some of it is just trying things on for size. You know, I mean, I think, you know, when you take a class and you might find sometimes something that you thought you really enjoyed, you don't. Or the opposite happens. You take a class and you find, oh my goodness, this is just fascinating to me. And I think, you know, when we gravitate toward what we're really interested in, and, you know, and when we ponder and think about things at a high level, in my mind, that's showing a lot of value and respect for what God has given us. You know, for instance, there's a story that that President Henry B. Eyring tells about a conversation he had with his father. And his father was a renowned scientist. And, you know, then consequently, President Henry B. Eyring started studying physics. but he wasn't sure if that's what he wanted to go into, you know, but his father had. So he was talking to his father. He said, well, you know, how do I know what to study? And his father said, well, you know, what do you think about when you don't have to think about anything? And, you know, for President Henry B. Eyring, it had him gravitate towards business, because that's what he was really passionate and interested about. So I think university time is a great time to, you know, delve into and find what you're passionate about, what you're interested in. And, you know, when we approach the things that we're really interested in, not just from a stance of like, oh, well, you know, this is what I'm going to do for my profession, or, you know, but, you know, when we engage with it, you know, in a really deep way, in a conscientious way, you know, I think that that's something our Heavenly Father just really loves. And I think, you know, again, our earthly relationships can provide, you know, a clue for us about how this works. You know, I can think of a number of times when, you know, my father would get excited about things I was excited about, not because he actually liked them, you know, but just because, you know, I cared about them, you know. And that same thing has happened with my children, where sometimes things that I never thought I would be interested in, I've got a couple of gymnasts, and, you know, they spend a lot of time, you know, at gymnastics each week. And it's something I never did as a child, but, you know, just seeing them excited about it and passionate about it brings me pleasure. And I think the same thing is true for our Heavenly Father, that, you know, when he sees us getting excited about things and really caring about what we're doing, that, you know, that brings him joy. And then I think we feel that, and it sort of builds that relationship.
I really like that comparison too, because, you know, we refer to him as our Heavenly Father for a reason. He is our parent. And I think sometimes it can be difficult with him, you know, not technically physically present, for us to really realize that he is kind of, whether, you know, it's a gymnastics meet or something like that, he is there, you know, on the sidelines cheering us on. He wants to be there and to support us. So that's really cool. Going kind of along with that, you said that people can deepen their ability to feel Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ's pleasure if they recognize that expressing their individuality binds them to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. How does expressing individuality bind us to them?
Oh, that's a great question. And I hope I don't end up just repeating myself, but, you know, I think that when we share very, you know, personal moments, well, let me back up, and I guess maybe I would say it this way. I think a lot of times when we think about building a relationship, we think that a relationship is formed by the really big moments and the fact that we share really important beliefs and experiences with other people. But when we actually look at it, I think our strongest relationships are those ones that are built out of a lot of really small and individual moments. And when we're willing to kind of share things that are maybe a little bit quirky about ourselves, you know, really particular to us as individuals, I think that's a sign that we really trust and value someone else. And, you know, I think that this is, again, true for a relationship with Christ and with Heavenly Father, that, you know, when in prayer, you know, we really open up and we don't just rely on, you know, typical phrases or things we've heard other people pray, but we say, all right, in this really particular moment, here's something that I am just, you know, enthralled with, or in this really particular moment, this is kind of precisely the despair or worry that I feel, that, you know, then the ability for us to hear the very particular responses to us as individuals is enhanced. And we recognize that it's not a sort of generic, you know, here's a Band-Aid that'll work for any hurt you experience, but here's a very particular you know, response or feeling or scriptural phrase, you know, that's coming directly to you. And so for me, that's how I think, you know, expressing this individuality then, you know, really binds us in a way that when we approach it through kind of large scale, large scope, you know, thoughts and interactions, they can only get us so far, but really that relationship is cemented when it's really very, very personal and very, very individual.
And with that, you mentioned the importance of communication with Heavenly Father through prayer. And you also said in your talk, carving out time to do so. What advice would you give to someone who might, you know, be struggling to pray? That's kind of having a hard time with that, but they want to make that connection.
Oh, I guess I feel sort of inadequate being one to you know, sound like I have something, you know, wonderful to say in this regard. But I think for me, you know, if time is a matter, recognizing that there are lots of different times when we can pray. You know, so I mentioned in my devotional that, you know, I like to pray while I'm washing dishes. And hopefully that doesn't mean that, you know, in trying to do, you know, to multitask that I'm doing a bad job, you know, but it was just a recognition for me, okay, I'm alert and attentive at this moment, and I don't have a whole lot of else to think about. I don't have to, you know, use a lot of my thinking to wash dishes. So what if I pray right now? So if time is a matter, you know, I think finding time, I've also found, you know, long drives can be really productive times to pray. You know, so that's one thing that I think could be helpful. But then I also think sort of, you know, at least momentarily getting rid of some of the, you know, oh, here are the phrases that I'm supposed to use when I pray, and to just be completely honest. You know, and sometimes I think that honesty will come out in tears and sometimes even anger. And sometimes, you know, just joy. But just saying not what we think we're supposed to say, but what we feel is important to say can really be helpful, I think, if we're struggling to pray. You know, and, you know, I think that can even come in the forms of, you know, expressing doubt, but hopefully mingled with a desire to overcome that doubt, you know. But I think those would be the recommendations I would make.
And one of the last things you mentioned was that strong relationships are grounded in sacrifice. How might a BYU Idaho student make a sacrifice for the Lord? Of course, it's very individual, but how might they go about even thinking of making sacrifices for the Lord?
I mean, I think there are a couple of different ways to approach this, and I'll approach this by focusing more on one side of kind of an atypical side of sacrifice. And so just if you think of, you know, the word sacrifice and where it comes from, the idea is to take something that's common or ordinary and make it sacred. And so I think that sometimes we're so focused on needing to give something up that it can obscure the fact that sometimes the sacrifice we need to make is not giving something up, but to take something that is common or ordinary and try to make it sacred. And, you know, so, you know, if I'm, you know, and again, there may be times when it's pretty clear to us, hey, here's something I need to give up, you know. I am spending too much time binge watching Netflix or, you know, or something like that. And, you know, we can say, oh, I feel prompted to give this up. But I think there are other opportunities or times when there are things that we just have to do, but we can try to make them sacred experiences. So, you know, I think of BYU Idaho students, and, you know, inevitably when you're a university student, you're going to have homework. And it's often not the thing that you want to do. Hopefully sometimes, you know, with things you're really interested in, it is actually stuff that you want to do. But sometimes taking just that ordinary thing and saying, I'm going to approach this not as a common or ordinary thing, but I'm going to approach this as a sacred thing. And I'm going to say, hey, I have been given this experience to be at BYU Idaho and to learn, and I'm going to do my best to try to learn what I can. And I think, you know, by approaching it that way, we can, again, take this really common or ordinary thing and we can make it a sacred experience. Now, does that mean every time we do our homework, if we just think about it the right way, it's going to be a profound experience? No, I don't think so. But I think if we try to do that, at least on occasion, we'll find that that is a way of honoring God in a way that's really important and crucial. There are only so many hours in a day, and we can't devote all of those hours to scripture study and prayer. There are other things that we have to do and get done. But that doesn't mean that those have to be out of bounds or not spiritual. And again, I think when we recognize that our Heavenly Father and Christ are interested in these really kind of small moments, it becomes easier to say, again, not every time, but sometimes, my homework can be a sacred experience, or, opportunity to, go on a walk with a friend can be a sacrifice in that we are making it a sacred thing.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today and sharing a little bit about your devotional talk.